The word is aha. And aha, if we remember when we opened the series last week, aha is defined as a sudden understanding, a recognition, or a resolution. It's that moment when something that wasn't clear to you before is now really clear. Sometimes that moment happens because a friend comes alongside you and helps you from going somewhere that you really didn't want to go in the first place. Or you have already gone there and the pain or the embarrassment or the absolute isolation makes you realize that this is not anything like you originally thought it was going to be. It's an aha moment. Aha moments can be life-changing. They can be even liberating. But they are always a part of a life-living roller coaster with wonderful joy at the top and just incredible, almost indescribable pain at the bottom. In introducing aha, we set the stage for those moments in life by talking about why people actually leave God. It doesn't seem like it would be a commonsensical thing to do because for the majority of people, God is this benevolent, caring person who has some rules, but nonetheless, really, we see him as this patient person. So why would anyone really want to leave in the first place? They leave the Father's house nonetheless. Sometimes it's a subtle day after day, week after week departure. Other times it's an abrupt break with God. Regardless of what it's like and when we leave the Father's house, that really is when the story begins. That's the initial beginning of the aha moment. And when it happens, in the beginning, it's not always a sad thing. It's that grass is always greener perspective. From where you're standing, life over there is always better than life with the Father. Life over there is always better than life at home. I don't think there's anyone here today that hasn't had that mindset, those thought processes, no matter where you are in life, a teenager, a newly married, a new parent, an empty nester, or a seasoned citizen. Life is always greener somewhere else. And that's why in the beginning, aha seems to be fun like that. We looked last week at the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. I hope that you had the opportunity maybe to go home and read through that story. It'll take you a grand total of about 3 minutes. But we read in the first two verses of the parable, and we saw the younger of two sons ask his father, prior to his father's death, for his inheritance. The father gave it to him. We're not exactly sure what it was that made the son want to leave. And for the most part, it really doesn't matter. He left. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 13, say this. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. He asked for his inheritance. He left his father's house and went off to what Jesus says or describes is a distant country. That's another aspect of aha. It's a part of every person's aha story. It's called a distant country. And a distant country isn't necessarily a place, although in this story, it's a faraway place. But the perspective is that it's not just a geographical place, a lat long, if you will, on a map. It's an emotional place. It's a spiritual place. And specifically, it's a place that is distant from the Father. I've been doing this job for a long time, and I can't tell you how many heartbreaking lives I've heard the stories of that always, always have a distant country as a part of them. I never thought I would end up here, but there they are. I didn't intend for it to be like this, but this is exactly what it's like. It's called a distant country. And anyone and everyone who's ever had an aha moment knows exactly where the distant country was in their life. All aha stories end up at the distant country. It starts off with a simple request to do things on your own for a while, and you end up in the distant country. It starts off with wanting to do things your own way, and you end up in the distant country. It starts off with just wanting to blow off a little steam, have a little fun, and you end up in the distant country. The thing about the distant country that everyone knows is when you first get there, it is absolutely awesome. It's loud, it's fun, it's crazy, it's good, it's even relaxing or reassuring. And everything that you thought it would be, on that first day especially, is exactly what you expected. You don't have to answer to anyone. You make your own decisions. There's really no guilt involved in any decision that you make. You are as free as you ever dreamed that you thought you would be. You get to the distant country and you just exhale so gratefully because you absolutely love it. And what happens after that truly is the beginning of everyone's aha story. Because there are a couple things that you find out sometimes the next day, but whenever you do find out, inevitably you find out, firstly, that the distant country will leave you broke. Absolutely and completely broke. The story says that the son squandered his wealth in wild living. You know, Jesus smartly does not give any details about what that means. But there's not a person here that doesn't have an imagination and can fill in the blank. And someone over here might think it's this, and someone right here might think it's that, but it doesn't matter. Because squandering is squandering. It's a loss. It's a waste. Now, I don't do this very often, but it's important. Jesus, when he tells this story, he actually tells it in a completely different language. And there's a significant aspect to the word that he uses that's described as wild living. It basically means that a man, by his decisions, is destroying his life. Anybody ever know anybody like that? Anybody ever been someone like that? Nobody want to talk about it? That's what it means. Jesus tells the story of a young man who is destroying himself. He doesn't talk about the details, and he also doesn't talk about how old this young man really is. And again, it doesn't matter. In my own opinion, I just, for whatever reason, I imagine this young man in his late teens or early 20s. I've just seen too much of this over the last couple of decades. And it's not that everyone is like this, every young man is like this, but this is just the imagination that I have. So if you'll work with me on this, imagine that a 21 or a 22-year-old guy suddenly comes into an enormous amount of wealth. All right? For the majority of his life, like 20 years, everybody's managed his life. And now he gets to manage his own life, and he gets to manage that with an untold amount of wealth. You know what's coming, don't you? Right? How long does that money last? Somebody says not long, right? How long? It doesn't. And you know what? That's even if that young man's a relatively good kid. All right? Even if. But that's not what the story says. The story says he just wasted it all. It's a picture here of a young man whose life is absolutely out of control. It started off as just going out and living on his own, making his own decisions, having the freedom to do so. Chasing his own dreams. And it ended up being more than he could handle. And it would cost him more than he would ever imagine. The fortunate truth is that there's probably a whole bunch of us that have been there. We don't necessarily have to have some mutual agreement on how far the bottom goes, because it doesn't matter, because bottom is for us whatever it is. And a whole bunch of us have been there. We may not have intended to end up there, but we did. And even though we ended up there, we may not have intended to stay, but we stayed. And before you know it, it would be a fair description of you or of me if someone were to say of us, they wasted everything that they had and it destroyed them. Now in this story, the story that Jesus tells, it's wealth that he loses. But Jesus is just using that as an aspect of illustration. It's not always wealth that we lose. It might be reputation. We work hard and do things right, and we get frustrated, and we make one decision, and we end up in the distant country. And it doesn't matter what we've done for 5 or 10 or 20 or 50 years. It's that one decision that a lot of people know about. It may not be wealth that we lost. It might have been our family. Pictures and videos would never tell the story that we end up in. But there we are. It might not have been wealth that we lost. It might have been the trust of a good friend or even your spouse. Because that's what the distant country really looks like. Maybe it wasn't wealth. Maybe it was just the loss of your job. Because that's what the distant country looks like. It seemed at first that the distant country would be a place of joy and of freedom and of fun. But now it's a desolate wasteland. And that's not all. Jesus continues in the story in Luke chapter 15, starting with verse 14. He then says, after he spent everything, there is a severe famine. You guys knew that was coming, right? Just when you think it couldn't get any worse. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Once the son has spent all his money that he demanded from his father, the worst happens. And it's always like that. You think, you plan for everything that you know, but the problem is, neither you nor I know everything. We don't know when the next snowstorm will happen. And just about the time that it happens, we think, man, I should have fixed that generator. We don't know the next time we're going to need some extra money. But just about the time we need some extra money, we spend it on something that we didn't need. We don't know that someone else might actually be aware of the things that we're thinking. But just about the time we start to act on our thoughts, someone sees what we've been looking at online, or who we've been seeing at lunchtime. And the distant country becomes a wasteland. There's no rain, no food, no money to be found anywhere, and this man, young man, is desperate. He has absolutely nothing. In the beginning, the distant country seems like it's going to be a really, really good place to be. But it will leave you broke, and the distant country will leave you alone. It will leave you broke, and the distant country will leave you alone. It may start out as just another innocent decision, or a change from one place or one person or one thought or one whatever to another. And it's really not that big of a deal. It's my life, right? These are my choices. And if the good things happen, then I'll be blessed. And if some bad things happen, well, then I'll deal with it. Because I'm strong and I'm a grown man. Yeah. When we decide to live apart from the Father, when we walk away from the care and the keeping that He provides, where the young man is now, this is an inevitability. When we decide to live apart from the Father, that's when pain begins. It may be subtle at first, but there's more. We burn bridges with people, and then we need their counsel, or even just their friendship. We become so much of an island, the island that we wanted to sail to begin with, and then we're stunned when no one else is there. And even worse, no one wants to come. When the younger son decides to leave home, it's not just an isolated decision. The ripples go in every direction. There is an older brother. There's a father. And Jesus in the story doesn't talk about a mother, but I'd like to think that there was one there. It's not just one heart that's disappointed. There are multiple hearts that are disappointed and broken. It's family. It's your friends. It's the friends of your family. It's the people that you're sitting next to right now. And the ripples just keep on going and going and going, and everyone gets wet. We're overwhelmed by this devastatingly simple, listen to this. You and I are overwhelmed by this devastatingly simple truth. Living a life apart from the Father impacts more than you. Impacts people more than yourself. And while you and I may be overwhelmed, you and I are so used to living this way now in this distant country. I am stunned as to how many of us become comfortable in our pain. We're so used to living life this way or seeing others live this way, we actually begin to believe that living life alone is normal. We know it's neither right nor good to stay in this distant country, but we stay. And we stay there alone. There may be people walking around us all the time, working right next to us, sometimes even worshiping right next to us. But we're alone. These life decisions of ours affect people in ways that we may or may not see. But over time, it really does begin to hurt. And before we know it, my life or your life has begun to hurt others in ways that we never would have imagined or intended. Once the distant country of your new fling is over, you realize that you're still alone, and so is the person you had the fling with. Once the distant country of climbing the corporate ladder is done, you realize you have no family, you have no friends, and there's nothing outside of the office. And the building is absolutely full of lonely people. Once the distant country of you having to be right about everything is known to everyone around you, they will allow you to be right all by yourself, because they're just sick and tired of arguing with you. Once the distant country of trying to store up and hold on to all the money you thought you could ever want is done, it's still not enough. And now you have a large account and no one to share it with. There are a lot of wealthy people, but there are a lot of miserable, wealthy people. Before you know it, your life has begun to hurt you more than you ever imagined. The distant country will always leave you broke and alone. It doesn't matter what made you leave the Father's house. The alternative is eventually the distant country. And the distant country will take everything you have and more that you never thought you'd ever have. It takes every bit of it. The distant country makes promises it will never keep. The distant country has images that immediately begin to fade. And most of the time, the distant country has nothing except half-truths and empty promises. You remember a TV show called Intervention? It's been off for a while now, and there are varying aspects of that. I suppose most of the talk shows on television in the middle of the day are somewhat like this anyway. It shows, the show, if you're not familiar with it, shows somebody who's severely addicted to drugs or has an eating disorder or is consumed with alcohol or whatever addiction crisis scenario is presented. And the show culminates with that person's closest friends and family confronting them, telling that person how they have been affected. The person who has the illness, the disease, the addiction already knows how they've been affected. Maybe not completely, but they know. But now they're going to be told how their family, how their friends have been impacted. One sister said to her brother, All I wanted was to be around my big brother, but things are different now. I've gone from always wanting to be in your presence to being fearful of being alone in the room with you. One son said to his father, "Dad, if I had one wish, I wish that you would get better. Please get better and come back to our family." One mother said to her daughter, "I hope you will always remember the good times that we had. But everything changed once you got sick. You are very disrespectful, and you are very rude, and you are thankless. We will not take this anymore. We want our daughter back." The difficult truth is that the distant country doesn't just affect you or me. It affects everyone around us. And often, because so many people are affected because of fear and because of the understanding that some bridges truly have been burned, we just stay in the distant country. And we believe the lie that the king of the distant country says all the time. And he only says this after you've arrived and you've decided to stay. He says this, "Oh, what have you done? You know you can't go back now. If you go back, do you know what they will say about you? If you go back, they're going to remember what you've done. You can't go back home. You can't go back home. Your sentence is to stay here, broke and alone for the rest of your life. And it's a lie. It's an absolute, despicable, insidious, evil lie. The distant country has no walls and no gates except the ones that you and I create. The distant country has no walls and no gates except the ones that you and I believe are there. It has no chains. It really has no laws except the law of guilt and fear. And you do not have to stay there. Just when you think that you've got nowhere else to go, just when you think you have no more hope, and that everyone that anyone thinks about you is true, that's when God shows up. That's when God, sometimes as simply and as kindly and as miraculously as you and I can possibly think, just kind of walks up and puts his hand on your shoulder and says, "Hey, how you been? I haven't seen you in a while. What's going on?" At first, you and I are caught off guard because the voice of God is the voice of a parent or a friend or a sibling or someone that you used to go to church with a long time ago, a person that you used to work with that really cared about you. You and I are too afraid to talk to them or tell them what's really going on, but you don't have to say anything because they can see it. That doesn't matter. They still put their hand on your shoulder. Say, "Hey, how's it going? I haven't seen you in a while. What's going on?" And what starts out as a sentence about things, how difficult things have been for a little while, if given the opportunity, turns into a simple question. "Will you help?" And you know what God says? Do you know what God says every single time? Do you know what the Father says? Even though you and I left, even though you and I left the house in anger, even though you and I sometimes left the house in frustration and in arrogance, the Father always says, I am so glad you asked. I have been waiting for you to come home. I've been waiting. God is the author of the ending of any aha story if you're willing to let him rewrite it. It doesn't have to end the way that you think it's going to end. It doesn't have to end according to the lies that you and I sometimes believe, the things that we see but can't, we can only see right now. We can't see tomorrow, but God can. And he can rewrite any aha story if we'll let him. He's got more power and more ability and more knowledge than you and I can begin to imagine. And some of you know it, which is why right now you're really quiet. Some of you know it, which is why right now, even though you're quiet, you're smiling. Some of you know it because right now, even though you're quiet and you're smiling, you're saying, I know somebody who needs to hear this. I know someone who needs to have a different ending than the one that they're writing right now. And if they would just give God a chance. But you see, that's exactly why we say what we say every single Sunday. We say we're here to help people find and follow Jesus because you know that Jesus rewrote your story and he wants to rewrite somebody else's, quite possibly even someone who's right here, right now. And he's in the business of rewriting that. And so the question is, do you want to believe the lie of the distant country or do you want to finally listen to the calm, powerful voice of the Father who's waiting for you to come home? Next week, we begin to hear how God rewrites stories. And it doesn't always smell good. It doesn't always look good. But the way home is always better than staying in the distant country. Who wants to go home? Is there anybody here who's been in the distant country for too long? Does anybody know anybody who's been in the distant country for so long that they can't even find the map, let alone believe anybody would actually love them enough to take them home? Who wants to go home? If you want to go home, come talk to me afterwards. I got somebody you need to meet. His name is Jesus. God, thank you so much for helping us to come home. God, we've burned bridges. We've said things we didn't want to say, done things we didn't want to do, and we're haunted by them. We believe the lie that they can't be forgiven. They can't be redeemed. While we once may have been of value to someone somewhere, we believe that all that's been squandered, but you are the restorer of hope. You are the giver of life. Father, there's nothing that's impossible for you. So many of us know what this life looks like now. So many of us have heard the words of mercy and felt the heartbeat of your grace. And we want that for so many others. So God, help us to help people come home. If there's someone here today, God, who needs to come home, who needs to learn about how Jesus makes it possible, Lord, help them to just speak to us, to reach out to us. Because you are waiting on the porch. And you can't wait to see us again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.